Amen. John chapter 21. Can we stand up? Can we stand up? I'm picking for the text. Amen. Somebody needs to hear it. This same scripture. 4 days ago, in the bathroom, I heard the voice of the Lord talking to me. I'm quoting that scripture, John chapter 21. And I knew he was telling me to come and share it with you. Praise the Lord. Are we there from verse 15? And I'm reading it up to verse 17. Praise the Lord. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, what did he say? Say it. Yes, he said, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him again, what did he say? Thank you. Feed my sheep. The last verse, 17. He said unto him, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, what did he say? What did he say? Feed my sheep. May the Lord have blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. And my exhortation is titled, Feeding the Sheep and the Lambs. Feeding the sheep and the lambs. Something special about this Peter, among all the 12 disciples. Two commissions have been given to him in the scriptures. Two commissions. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ gave him the keys to the kingdom, correct? He gave him the keys to the kingdom. He singled him out. And now in John 21, the Lord again is singling him out and telling him to feed the sheep and feed the lambs. Praise the Lord. There is something special about Peter. And remember, Peter is a symbol of faith. Hallelujah. Take note of something that my attention was called to. Why did he ask him three times? Peter, do you love me? Why did he ask him three times? The only way, you may have other reasons, but one reason stands out very clear. To me, remember, a prophecy Jesus Christ gave him before the cock will crow. How many times will you deny me, Peter? Three times Peter denied him. Therefore, I will not be surprised that Jesus will ask him also to repeat, I love you. How many times? Three times. I believe that. You denied me three times. You must say it before the whole of these apostles. And I also believe that there's something about confession. The denial that he denied Jesus Christ three times was to the knowledge of those other apostles. And I believe that they would have been looking at him as some person that betrayed Jesus and you want to take leadership position. And I believe that Jesus wanted him to use his mouth and get connected again to the flow of the ministry, the apostolic ministry. He said it to the hearing of the apostles three times, yeah, I love you. That's one thing I learned from that statement. Again, I also discovered that the love that Jesus was asking Peter to confess was different from the love that Peter was answering him. There is agape love and there is filial love. Do you love me? Peter said, I love you. It's very easy to say, I love you to somebody, praise the Lord, that you know you are loving somebody because of something you want to get from him. That's filial love. It is contractual love. There is something you are doing that is making me love you. The day that thing ceases, no more love. That is filial love. Amen. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. The day you are telling your wife, I love you, the day she just turns, sham, you turn again, this useless woman, I regret the day I marry you. So that love that you are telling her before is filial love. Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yeah, I love you. And many of us, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He's my friend. Sunday school rhymes. Amen. Amen. But wait until it looks as if this Jesus has forsaken you. Then you will know what type of love you love him. And Jesus Christ was trying to let Peter know, it is this filial love you love me that made you to deny me 3 times. Think again, do you love me? It is agape love. Selfless love. Sacrificial love. He loved us until he gave his life for us. The love that you will love a man until you can die for him. Love that you love somebody until you are a giver, not expecting anything in return. Until you can make any sacrifice. That is the kind of love every minister of God must have. It is when you have that type of love that you can truly take care of the 2 groups of believers, the sheep and the lambs. And there are many ministers of God that instead of taking care of the sheep and the lambs of God, they sit down and they rain curses on members of their congregation. Amen. Praise God. There are members of congregation that fear their pastors more than they fear God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you have special access to the pastor because of what he gets from you. Your access to the pastor is determined by what he gets from you. There are some people he prays special prayers for. And there are some that cannot even see him though he is their pastor. 2 groups of people are in the church. He calls them the sheep and the lambs. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Who is a sheep? And what is a sheep? We all know what a sheep is. It's that species of domesticated animals that have a horn. There are 2 groups of them. There's the goat and there's the sheep, correct? Among those 2 animals, the nature of the sheep is what makes clear the characteristic of God's children. The nature, the characteristics, what differentiates the sheep from the goat. Also, let us know the 2 groups of human beings on earth. In Matthew 25, he said he will separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep go to heaven. And the goats, what do they do? Fire. So, and the matured one is called the sheep, and the baby sheep is called the lamb. The matured other one, goat, the matured one, the baby goat is called what? Kid. Stop calling your children kid. My kids are at home. That means you are a goat. If anybody call you, say, how now? How are the kids? Tell us, I'm not a goat. I don't have kids. I have lambs at home. Amen. Nobody wants to be a goat. God hates the spirit of goat. I didn't say you should not eat goat. My best meat is a goat. Amen. Nobody wants to be identified as a goat because of the characteristic of a goat. The sheep is known for the obedient lifestyle. Innocent lifestyle. The submissive lifestyle. The lifestyle of a sheep is a life of obedience to the master. It's also known for always following leadership. It follows leadership. Who has ever seen, a herd of sheep moving? The leader is in front, another sheep. As it go, if it jumps an obstacle and jumps over it, even if the shepherd removed the obstacle, all the sheep will repeat what the first one did. When they reach that spot, all of them will jump. When they reach that spot, all of them will jump. Why? Our leader jumps, so we too will jump. But they're good. But, when he reached there, he goes, say, what did he make them they jump? He must argue small first until the shepherd give her power, come on, move. Then he will start to move. You are a goat. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are talking about the new birth. When you are born again into the body of Christ, you become matured, not because of your physical age. A 70-year-old man that gave his life to Christ today, he is a baby. You are a lamb. Spiritual baby. So your age is not determined by your physical age. Your maturity in the spirit is not determined by your physical age. To say, I am 60 years old, I am this. No. It is, when did you give your life to Christ? And not just giving your life to Christ, when did you get born again? And I'm talking to Revelator people, you are not born again until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Am I correct? I have proved that. Praise the Lord. You are not born again until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The day you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is your birthday, spiritual birthday. That's your spiritual birthday. And a lot of us make mistakes. Your years in Christ is not determined by the day you started going to church. You may have been going to church since the day they born you. And yet, you are not yet in Christ. And church, I have said it before, you may be a church member, but may not be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Church of Jesus Christ is not a physical body, it's a spiritual body. And you join it by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. You have to understand, and a lot of us that are ministers, that are leaders, God, by experience, has caused me to know certain things. Having been pastoring this church for the past 15 years, and a church that has experienced diverse and clear manifestations of the Spirit, God has given me the opportunity to meet wife ministers. From the day they were born into the body of Christ, to bring them up and see them stand and function in their ministries. Therefore, I can be a very good matron, spiritual midwife. Therefore, I am in position to say some things that can help ministers. Hallelujah. There are churches that have frustrated the move of God in their midst because the minister was ignorant of this fact we are sharing today. Hallelujah. There are ministers, pastors, that have killed gifts that were coming up because they did not, you know, take note of this thing we are sharing today. Take note. There is the sheep and there is the lamb. It is a lamb that grows to become a sheep. And just like a physical birth is messy, so also the spiritual birth also is messy. When I say messy, the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 speaks about different manifestations, different administration, and different operations of the Spirit when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are experiences you receive that people who are not well schooled will begin to look at when somebody has just received the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost is dealing with that person, and a blind pastor sometimes will say that person is possessed and begin to conduct deliverance. You see? And there are pastors that when a gift is starting, they kill that gift with fear. They use fear. Amen. They scare the person by the utterances, by certain carnal standards they have set. Do you know what the Holy Ghost is? I have a pastor that has graduated from not having Holy Ghost at all in 1995. I was under his ministry, and then the ministry had no pastor. There were four of them, exalted brethren. They called them exalting brethren. They were pretending to be humble. You know, you can act humility so that people will see and think you are humble. Meanwhile, there is an agenda you have. And I happened to be in that church for 7 months. And the pastor said he didn't have Holy Ghost because he designed what he feels. When you have the Holy Ghost, you should be a superman. Do you know who the Holy Ghost is? When you come there and say, I have the Holy Ghost, he will look at you. They laugh, he will laugh at you. You will go back and repent that you say you have the Holy Ghost. You. Then he will come to the pulpit and use big grammar. He's a lawyer. And finish you like this for telling him that you have the Holy Ghost. He said, we are still believing the Holy Ghost. Lord, give me Holy Ghost. Lord, give us Holy Ghost. Lord, give us Holy Ghost. Well, that was the attraction that attracted me to that church, because I was in another dead church and I needed revival. And so when I had them, believers of this enter message, and then they were saying Holy Ghost, I said, hey, another place I like. I want Holy Ghost. But when I got there, their idea of the Holy Ghost was far from what it should be. I remember I told him, I said, sir, I know when I receive the Holy Ghost, and it's not for you to confirm to me whether I have the Holy Ghost or not. I have the Holy Ghost. Of course, there were not a lot of people like, anyway, that young man, I don't know, because I left him since 1995, December, and few years after, I now heard that he's not just only the pastor of that church, but he's now having a dispensational ministry as the one that takes over in the line of William Branham. So the first thing I ask them is, I say, I heard that your brother so-so, he's not only pastor now, he's even now claiming this. When did he receive the Holy Ghost? I hope he has received the Holy Ghost. And the member was asking me, hey, you, uncle, do you have the Holy Ghost? I said, sure. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Praise the Lord. That song says, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Foretaste, it means the glory we're expecting, I am already testing it in advance. Until you have that testimony, you will not know. But whatever it is, they use their carnal mind to give a picture of what the Holy Ghost should look like. Such that when somebody is receiving the Holy Ghost in God's own ordained way, you miss it. Church, I preach a message that I titled the Gospel According to Nature. Understand the things of the Spirit through nature. The same way we physical birth is. That is how spiritual birth is. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When a baby is born, he is messy. Very, very messy. When you see our gifted brothers here now, those, because I have told you that once you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a gift must operate. If you are not operating any gift, that is 9 of those gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you have received an experience and you are not operating any gift, it is not that you don't have it. You have it, but you have failed to identify it. And it is always because of where you are worshipping. You are not able to identify which part. Your gift determines the part you play in the body of Christ. Your gift defines your ministry. I have a call. And all the people know is pastoral call. Gather people and pastor them. That is not the only gift in the Bible. Everybody cannot be a pastor. God call me. God call you. The evidence is the gift you have. Because it is the gift you have that you will use to serve Him. Praise the Lord. But before that gift will manifest, you will have all manner of experiences depending on what the gift is. Especially the gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of prophecy. Especially that gift. Because the gift of the word of knowledge is the commonest one. The denominations, picking examples from the Bible, look at the gift of speaking in tongue as the evidence of the Holy Ghost. We have proved it in the Bible. We have proved it here. That the evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongue. Have that nailed well in your brain. Amen. Praise the Lord. The commonest one that every believer has is the gift of the word of knowledge. That is the one that every believer has it. What is the gift of knowledge? The word of knowledge is the ability to know something. And it comes supernaturally. And I say it comes in 4 ways. It comes by a vision. Or it comes by a dream. Or it comes by an audible voice you will hear. Or it comes like an inspiration, a thought, a very loud thought. Every one of us here, you a dream. Every one of us here, if you are not dreaming, you will see vision, you will hear a voice, or that thought. It will come like a thought. And when the thing happens, you say, I think. Now he be this, so. Praise the Lord. Every one of us. Now the gift of prophecy is another gift that is so common also in a church. Especially a church that is a praying church. I didn't say the office of a prophet. The office of a prophet is different from the gift of prophecy. A prophet is one that has the ability to inquire. But the gift of prophecy, the person does not go to ask God, Lord, what should I tell the church today? He's just sitting down and the anointing will hit and wow, and start to speak in tongues and maybe interpret. And give tongues, say the Lord. He did not prepare for it. He was not thinking over it. It is a gift. It may come, and it will come when He, God, decides to use it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, when that gift begins, amen. If you are not properly schooled, you pastors, there is a tendency for you to think when God is trying to get Himself used to that person, there is a tendency for you to say that this is the devil, he's possessed. Why is it that every program, now in the fall, praise the Lord. Every service is now with order, bra and scatter. She's sitting down somewhere here. Uche, God bless you. I will not come so that you will not fall. Praise the Lord. If you are in some of these dead end time message churches, they will say you are possessed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now, you will say that she's possessed if you are not properly schooled, including church members. Hallelujah. What is it? It is the new birth. Was she experiencing that before? No. Let me ask her husband. If I start to talk to her now, the fire will fall on her. Where is the husband? I don't want to use her for example. Where is Uche's husband? Him there. Give him microphone. Give him microphone. Come forward, sir. Was she manifesting that anointing before?
No, sir. It was just after your administration. After she had the normal baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then the other baptisms, the prayers you offered to her in the altar of mercy here 4 good times, then she started manifesting because the Holy Ghost just started speaking to her and she had a lot of dreams and all the rest of them.
And when she reached house, Uncle?
She, in fact, I have turned to a pastor and had one. Most of the time, if she sings, anointing will just come up. So I stopped. I told her not to be singing all the way. When she sings, the anointing will just come up.
Hallelujah. Praise. She's not the only one. Many of you sitting down here, it's the same thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, when it comes to that, you liken it to a newborn baby that has just been given birth to. That baby is messy. So, you need an experienced person, mother. That's why we always, young women who just give birth to children, they always send for their mother to come and do mugu for them. Hallelujah. Because they are experienced. If you leave that child with the inexperienced mother, will not know how to bath that baby. In bathing the baby, she cannot stand her baby crying. But you bring an experienced mother, he go back, look. He go twist the hand. He go turn her upside down. Is she wicked? No. That is how you bring them up. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. And you don't leave that child in the hand of a grandmother. Grandmother will not take care of that child and bring her up properly. And there are grandmother churches. If you get born again and you grow up under grandmother church, you will be as carnal as anything, yet born again Christian. Because the preacher will not preach hard. What does the preacher use? Amen. What does the preacher use to wash that baby, clean the baby up? The washing of the water by the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, maybe I'm guilty of that. When this ministry started, and I see the effects, I see the results. When this ministry started and the gifts began, 1999, 2000, and on like that, we had every month, once every month, a program where we had a vigil for all those who had gifts. We gather them and teach them how to operate that gift scripturally. And it helped. That is what produced them. With the washing of the water by the word. You should not, because a child is learning to walk. When he learns to walk, look, a child has her characteristic, the natural child. Number one, so that you will know, sitting down here today, whether you are a sheep or a lamb. The lamb has her characteristics, church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number one is that baby, I want you to know now whether you are a sheep or you are a lamb. You are matured or not. There are certain characteristics among them. I'm saying it now. It's for everybody. Don't look at another person. Look at yourself as I'm talking. Those Christians, a baby, the baby that is just born, the only way he lets the mother know that he needs something, what does he do? He cries. Any Christian, that anytime he has any problem, he begins to cry to God, you are a lamb. How many lambs here? You are immature. Amen. You are immature. When a baby is, you know, like to act also like the mature people at home, immediately, you know, he wants to stand up and walk because everybody is running around the town, around the house. Then he will try to stand up. When he stands up like that, what happens? He will fall. He will struggle again and stand. Go, go, go. He will fall. Then again, if there's anybody here, you try to live a good Christian life, and at the slightest opportunity, you fall, yakata. You are a lamb. You are a lamb. Baby Christians. Baby Christians. You can't stand. You can't stand. That answers the question. Can I be born again and still commit fornication? Yes. Can I be born again and still palm my head? Yes. Can I be born again and still drink beer? Yes. How? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You try to stop doing something, but at the slightest influence, you find yourself inside you have fallen. Then after you wake up again, say, Father. Amen. You are a baby Christian. That is the characteristic of baby Christians. And a baby Christian, anything he sees, he carries it in our food, he go put it for mouth. Am I correct? Amen. A baby Christian, that anywhere there is revival, God and our God, provided they are calling Jesus, he go wrong, go there. Man of God, a man of God, lay hand on me. Every doctrine, na God. He's not every church that is the church of Jesus Christ. He said we should watch and pray. You must watch. It's not everything you put in your mouth. It's not even every song that we sing. There are some worldly songs that they call gospel music. It's not every song that we sing because they call Jesus inside. Praise the Lord. And one more thing about the baby Christian is that, like a baby, you think everybody is a friend. You love everybody around. You associate everybody. You run around with everybody. You want to go along with everybody. Because everybody, you think they are friends. And because of that, very easily, they can take advantage of such people. They are taken advantage of. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is one identification. Take note that the baby Christian, like the physical birth, the growth is not automatic like that. You don't get born again today and be mature. You grow into maturity. Therefore, the parents need a lot of patience when bringing them up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there is the sheep food and there is the lamb food. The baby, the food you give to a baby is not the same food you give to an adult. Even the baby, when you want to introduce them to certain food, you introduce the adult food gradually. That is why 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, can we read it? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter. Hallelujah. Verse 2. As newborn babes, this is the way he put it. He said, desire. Desire. Look for. Desire. The sincere milk of the word. That what will happen? That what will happen? That you may grow thereby. There is the milk of the word of God. The word of God. Amen. There is the milk of the word of God. And there is the strong meat. There is meat. Strong meat. And there is milk. The milk part of the word of God. For God so loved the world. Teaching them about the love of God. Teaching them the Ten Commandments. Teaching them to abstain from all unrighteousness. It is milk when you begin to tell somebody, don't steal, don't smoke, don't drink, don't fornicate. Don't commit adultery, don't hate, don't curse. Always pray. Worship the Lord. Do this. God expects this. That is milk. Amen. Don't go beyond that yet. If you go beyond that, there will be confusion. Isaiah 28 and verse 9, where he said, whom shall he teach knowledge? He said, you see, that is weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And I told you, the breast here, God's breast, Jehovah El Shaddai, is the Old and the New Testament. Two breasts that you feed and nourish from. The emphasis is the word. Preachers want to bring up people using their own chube-chube sense. Don't do that. Use the word of God and bring up the newly born again Christians. That's why I love a book that an evangelist wrote. He titled it, Now That You Are Born Again. Now that you are in Christ. Then begin to tell them the ABC, the rudiments of Christianity. I love that book. I wish I can reproduce it to give all newly born again Christians here. The problem with us in the entire message is that somebody just give his life to Christ and you want to begin to go into the mysteries. The mysteries of salvation cannot help a baby Christian. The mystery of salvation. Somebody just give his life to Christ, you are telling him about serpent seed. Somebody just give his life to Christ. And you are telling him, all those seven seals, 7 trumpets, 7 vials. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No. First and foremost, lead that person to receive an anchor in the faith. Let them have the reality of God and let them enjoy the experience they are having. And so when this ministry started, by the wisdom of God, it's good to know what you are doing and stand on it. The gifts started in the ministry here. The gifts, see, when this church started, those of you who started with us, you know that we are better spiritually than we are now. I don't know those who started with this church. Oh, sometimes I begin to think that it looks like when a church is smaller, it is sweeter. The fellowship is sweeter. Amen. If you commit any sin, you'll be afraid to come to church, this ministry. How not they will strike somebody at the back there, they will expose you in prophecy. Amen. Praise the Lord. That time when we close, ministers will gather in my office and all serious cases bring it. We close from service. Sometimes this church, we will close Sunday service 8 p.m. and nobody will be tired. And when we close, they are still hanging around. Oh! People will come for Friday vigil. They will refuse to go home. They will remain here until Sunday morning. Monday morning. They don't want to go. The presence of God was so much. And there was love among the brethren. Love among the brethren. No case came among us without solution. No case. No case. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No case came among us without solution. Why? The people were properly brought up to see the reason why God gave them that gift. Church, this man that is preaching here has a grace God has given to raise up ministers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I will continue next time. God bless you. Because I need to say some things. I need to say some things. I will continue next time. We must look at the food for the sheep and the lambs. Can we bow down our heads? This is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. Give me the power to do your will.
Oh Lord, I pray.
This is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. Give me the power
to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray. Sing anointing, flow in my life. Flow over my head to toe. Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray.
Sing it again. Sing.